Live4 is a 501c3 nonprofit with a mission to empower kids with disabilities to participate in adaptive sporting and recreational activities. I am Katherine Kraft, the pediatric physical therapist behind this movement, and I continue to strive for ways to break down any perceived barriers and encourage all kids to go confidently in the direction of their dreams. Here at Live4, we do this through collaboration with adaptive and recreational programs and businesses to create unique and inspiring rehabilitative services. So grab a cup of coffee and join us as we get ready to empower kids.
Welcome everybody to our fifth episode, season two. Sorry for everybody when I got it wrong last episode. It was episode four. We are now on our fifth episode. And I couldn't be more excited to be talking to Annie Heathcote today. I first met Annie, we were just chatting about this, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. She was a high school student at Wisconsin Heights High School, and I was a school physical therapist. And it was amazing, Annie, when I first met you, because I had never met a student that knew themselves so well that they were able to not only speak up for what they needed, but they were also able to realize areas that they needed to work on. And you were the first student probably ever, even to this day, that was like, well, this is what is hard for me. This is what is easy. This is what I could really use your help in. And oh, by the way, I play power soccer and I want everybody to know about it. And so you and I were talking and trying to collaborate to get some power chairs out to Wisconsin Heights High so that even the able-bodied students could play power soccer. And I was like, this girl is awesome. So Annie, thank you so much for being here. I'd love for you to tell us who you are, where you're at today. I know you're 22 now, how time flies. So welcome. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. It's a huge honor. I'm glad to be here today. A little bit about myself is I'm 22 years old, like you said. I live in Mazamani, Wisconsin. It's a small town about half hour from Madison. I recently graduated college and I own my own business as a web and graphic designer that specializes in user experience and user interface. When I'm not designing, you can find me spending time with my family and friends, making art, singing at church, playing power soccer, traveling. So just really fun stuff. And my faith, family, friends, and career and disability advocacy are all really important to me. And my foundation of faith in Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his purpose for my life, like, influences everything I do. And I want to live for him and impact people's lives for the better. And I have such a great support network that I'm really thankful for, where I'm surrounded by family and community and friends, where the love and care shown is mutual. I'm athletic and driven, but also like creative and caring. So yeah, that's me.
That is amazing. I would say all of those things about you are so true. I remember I was looking at your face, or not your Facebook, your website recently, and you had a motto on there, and I'm just going to read it because I want it to become my motto for life. But you had said that your motto is to love, serve God and others, work hard by doing your best, and to never give up. And so I'm just curious, with a motto like that, where does it come from? Or can you tell us a little bit about your disability that led you to be so passionate and wanting to give so much to others?
Yeah, so it starts with my faith in God and just knowing that I'm here for a purpose. And he made me have a disability to help and like understand others with disabilities and really advocate in that space, because I live that out every day. And then just working hard and doing your best. My whole life I've been told what I can and can't do. And like kind of my thing is like, I like to prove people wrong and show them like, hey, I can do this and I can do it better. And just like never giving up, that's part of it. And it's about like mindset and personal growth and things like that. And perspective is a huge part of it too. Just what I see and then what I learn from others. Like, we just got to be open to learn and grow and see other people's perspective. And that's how we make a world a better place, is just by understanding that.
I love that. And I think that your view on disability is probably a lot different than some others out there. And even for myself, saying the word disability is still hard for me, because I'm like, gosh, like, I don't like that word. Like, I like, you know, what is your ability? What can you do? Like you said, like, focus on things that you can do and not what you can't do. But the world views disability as what you can't do. So can you speak to a little bit about how you view disability, or what limitations and strengths that you see in yourself?
Yeah, so for me, I guess, like, I've known disability my whole life. Like, I have a genetic disorder called spinal muscular atrophy. And basically, it's a genetic condition that causes muscle weakness and atrophy of the muscles. And yeah, I can get into the science of it, or like a simplified version. But basically, because of a mutated or missing gene, there's a lack of signal from the motor neurons that make muscles strengthen, which causes them to weaken and atrophy over time. So I've grown up, you know, having disability. That's all I've ever known. And it's not like I wake up every day and like, oh crap, like I have a disability, you know. I just wake up and I'm happy, and I live with gratitude and just knowing that, hey, I'm happy to be alive right now. I'm here to make an impact. And God, what do you want me to do today? And that's just kind of the perspective that I have.
I think everybody can learn from that perspective, because I think there are so many people that wake up, let's say my son, for an example, and hates the world, right? You wake up and people can be just like so stressed and so upset from the very beginning. And instead, maybe ask yourself, what can I do today? Like, what is my purpose here today? I think that is huge. So thank you so much for sharing that. That also brings me to some of, like, when you say, what can you do? What are some things that really do motivate you in the morning? Like, when you wake up, what are the things in your day that you look forward to or that you're passionate about?
Yeah, well, it starts out with, you know, caregivers coming in. I get to see them, talk to them, you know, have conversations, and they get me up and going every day, which I really appreciate. And that's a thing that a lot of people don't realize, is if I don't have those people in my life, like, I don't get out of bed. And that's one thing right there to be grateful for, is that, like, if you're able to, like, get yourself up and ready in the morning, like, that is a big deal. And, like, I wish I had that type of independence. But the way I overcome that is I can direct my care. I can advocate for myself and what I need. And so they know how to help me and all my preferences and everything. And that's a way that I can contribute to that situation.
Which brings up another good point. I think so many people don't speak up for themselves, or don't say what they need, or just don't do what they know that they need to do. I think there's a lot of us, whatever it is that's going on with our life, that we just kind of go through the motions of life, and we don't think about taking care of ourselves. And so I have always recognized that in you, and I love that. And I wish that you could, even on this platform, spread that out to younger kids or even teenagers coming up, of say, hey, like, you have a voice, like, you know what you want, like, it is okay to say that. And you've done it in such a gracious way, in such a respectful way, that I think that people are very thankful when you do that. And so I'm wondering if you could speak to, like, so I know, for example, some of the kids I work with, some of their conditions are progressive. Like, they could have started out walking and now they're not walking anymore. And they're seeing that as a huge limitation and frustration as they're getting into middle school or high school years. So I'm curious, like, what you would say to them, or what kind of education you'd like the world to even know about when it comes to advocating for yourself and what you need.
Yeah. So I'm going to first off say that that definitely is hard. I don't want to just ignore the fact that that's not hard and that you can't grieve over that and take that time. But one thing I recommend too is not staying in that situation. Obviously, sometimes you can't, like, change that. But I'm saying, don't stay in that mental state of, oh, I'm getting weaker, oh, I can't do that. Sometimes you really just have to shift the focus to a more positive one and be like, okay, this is what I can do. Here's the people that still love and care about me. Here's what I'm blessed with in my life. And sometimes that's what it has to come down to. And I've noticed, like, over the years with my progressive disorder, that I am getting weaker, and some days are really hard. And I noticed that, like, oh, I can't, like, lift this cup as well, just simple things like that. And I just look at it like, okay, today might be a bad day. It might be a bad moment, but you know, tomorrow, like I can, you know, be better and have better thoughts and just like still impact the world. And why I mention that a lot too is it helps me like grow as a person and like feel good when I'm helping others. And so if I'm not feeding into others and impacting others' lives, like that affects me too. And I think that's really important in someone's life, whether you like mentor or disciple someone, or just like show that you care about other people, like that fills up your cup too when you do that. So.
Yeah. And that reminds me, you doing for others and helping other people. I know that you did an internship or did you work at the Black Earth Children's Museum? Mm-hmm. And so you're around kids a lot. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, kids are super fun. Like they're just curious and they ask questions and they just want to know more. And, you know, sometimes I can come off as like rude or things like that. And I'm just one of those people that's like, hey, they don't know, they want to know. And a lot of them are like, what's wrong with you? And it's like, well, my muscles just aren't as strong as yours. And you got big muscles and you can run around. I use this wheelchair to get around and that's how I live my life. And that's okay. I'm a person just like you. And they're like, oh, okay. And then they're totally fine with it. And kids are so fun. Like they like to ride around on the back of my chair and just like talk to me. And they just remind you of like what it's like to be a kid again and see the world with that perspective. It's truly incredible.
Right. I also see it as, I think kids are really accepting. And like you said, they're curious. And then once they have the information, they're like, okay, that's awesome. Let's go, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when I think about, you know, the curiosity of kids and the acceptance of kids, I feel like as we get older, like that starts to change because you start to overanalyze or you overthink like what's the right thing to say, or if I'm curious, how do I ask this the right way? And so if you are out and about meeting somebody for the first time and they were curious about your disability, how would you speak to that? Or what would you want like the adults of the world to know?
Yeah, that's a really good point too. Cause I think especially when, you know, a child is with their parents and they like shout out loud, like, what's wrong with that person? You know, the parents always like, shh, don't talk about it, like hushes them away. And it's just like, it's just better if the person seems friendly and willing to talk, because not that they have to talk about their disability just because you ask about it. That's a good thing to consider too. But just having the parent bring the child up to the person and be like, hey, what's your name? And this is my name. And just like have a conversation, because when you hush the child, you're showing them unconsciously that, oh, we don't see or talk to people like that. And that's not what you want the child to like know when they encounter people with disabilities, because they will throughout their whole life. But you really want to make that connection with the child that, hey, this is a person too, and they just do things differently.
I love that so much, because I know even for my son at his age right now, when he goes up to introduce himself to somebody, he does exactly what you said. Hi, my name's Beckett. What's your name? You know, and I like green, you know, I look at green. Like, what do you like? And I feel like that is wonderful, because you're right. There isn't a stigma there until us as adults put that stigma on there. And so thank you so much for sharing that. And also just like anybody else, respecting whether somebody wants to answer a question or not. Like if somebody were to ask me a personal question that I just met that I don't want to share, maybe I could simply just say, well, I don't want to really talk about that right now, but I'd love to talk about this. And it sounds like, you know, it's just a typical interaction, and just do it the same way that you would talk to anybody else. Mm-hmm. And you have spoke in the past about how having a disability, you know, put you in a minority group and probably the largest minority group, and how it doesn't really get addressed like it does of other minorities in the world. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. So I actually call it the forgotten 20%. And it's because people with disabilities are rarely represented in the media, TV, movies, and even the education system. And there's kind of like this inaccessibility cycle where something's not accessible, disabled people are unable to participate, and therefore they're not visible in the public. So then they interpret that as, oh, that's a rarity, so we don't need to be considered or accommodate that. And it's just kind of like this continuous cycle. And so I'm just really trying to break that cycle and spread education and awareness.
I think that's wonderful. What are some ways that you think that you can do that besides being on this podcast and airing it for everybody to hear? Like, what other ways can you spread the awareness and education about that?
Yeah. So just being open to learn and hearing others' perspective and getting to know a person as a person, you know, before their disability is a huge thing too. But also like accepting and respecting, learning from people with disabilities, reading books, posts, and articles written by disabled influencers, helping to increase disability representation by like sharing posts or whatever, and just thinking about the ways that you can make the area around you more accessible. Like, is there a ramp? Does this have a step? Being more inclusive, redefining your stereotypes, biases, and then what the norms are. And then making sure that every voice is heard and respected and being present and patient and talking to people directly with disabilities. That happens a lot too, where like some people assume that I can't talk or think for myself, which is unfortunate. And so they'll talk to the person next to me. And it's like, no, like I can talk, like I know a lot. And like, even people that I know like can't physically talk, I will talk directly to them because that is respectful and I'm talking to the person. And I know how much that means to them to know that I see them as a person and that I'm talking to them directly.
Yeah, I think that's huge for people to hear. I think that, you know, even when I think about when somebody's interpreting something that I'm saying in the medical world, I'm always looking at the person that I'm talking to, even though they have no idea what I'm saying, and the interpreter is going to interpret it for them, but I'm not talking to the interpreter, I'm talking right to the person in front of me. So I think it's very similar in that regard. So thank you so much for bringing that up.
Yeah.
And there's a few things that you said that I want to touch on. One of them is, you know, how to make the world more accessible. Like, I know that you're in, it's a graphic design, you're in some type of design. Mm-hmm. It just makes me think your brain is wired that way so that when you see places, like you can kind of design it in your own head of like, how can it be more accessible? So can you speak to some of your ideas in that realm?
Yeah. And one thing I want to address too is like just accessibility in general. Like there's a lot of places that are just inaccessible. And I've had to deal with that my whole life. Like my family will want to go somewhere and do something and it'll be inaccessible because of steps or something else or narrow doorways or something. And then I'm like the type of person that's like, go on, like have fun and like enjoy it because like I get my joy from knowing that like you had a good time. But in other situations too, like when I see a step, it's telling me no physically disabled people allowed. And like, if you saw a sign for that on a business door, would you tolerate that? And I sure hope not. Then why do we still tolerate a step that is saying the same thing? Like blocking someone from the independence that they didn't choose not to have. And I just wish more people advocated for that too. And just like saw that without just like stepping over the step being like, oh, a person in a wheelchair can't get over that, you know, because it's almost like, what if you asked someone like to boycott all the places that were inaccessible? Like people don't even think about that either, you know?
Right.
So just things like that.
Yeah. I think that's huge. I think, you know, it reminds me of what Damien talked about with the sidewalks, right? Like that little ramp to all the sidewalks, like those were designed for accessibility for wheelchair users, but everybody benefits from them. You know, it's the same thing when you're talking about a step into a building. It's like, gosh, like that gave me the chills when you said that, like seeing only a step into a building is saying like, we do not welcome people with disabilities. Like that is such an eye-opening statement and yet so true. Like, oh my gosh. Like, I think a lot of people will see it differently now. And two, from the design standpoint, like, why couldn't you just put a ramp there? Why couldn't you just make the doors a little bit wider? Like in my mind, it doesn't seem like it would be that challenging to do as long as there was a thought there. And so it brings me back to what you said about disability influencers. And I'm wondering if you can touch a little bit on anybody that you know of, or, you know, is there through social media, Are there things that are being changed because of these influencers? And I would love to know, you know, for our show notes too, I will definitely take those names down for you and put them in there so people can find them as well. But it does seem like in order to make change in this world, you need a big following now. You need to use social media. Mm-hmm. Like you need to get people behind you. So how do you see actually making change?
Yeah. So I've definitely found like through Instagram and other social media channels that I've actually connected to the disabled community like never before. And I've really appreciated that. And just hearing like different perspectives is not only does the disabled community have a perspective, but each individual in that community has a perspective that deserves to be respected. So that's their opinion too. And so just by following different influencers and YouTubers and watching like certain movies that feature people with disabilities, just learning more about how they not only see the world and then like just connecting with them too. Like I've made a lot of friends on Instagram, even from other countries, and talking about like what's accessible there and what's accessible here and things like that. And just, yeah, I just feel really connected to the disabled community. And I think it's so vital for people to also plug into that community, even if you don't have a disability, because you're going to learn so much things, and your eyes are just going to be really open to what you don't see because you don't live in that life or have that perspective every day. And just by learning the things that those influencers are advocating for and showing you and talking openly about and being vulnerable about, you're better able to know and learn and help that community.
Yeah, I think that's huge, because here at Live4, June is our like get involved month, right? Like we want to encourage people to get involved. And I think that sometimes people without a disability are wondering like, how do I get involved in this movement? And I think what you just mentioned is a huge way. So I would say definitely, like we'll put that list, we'll put people in their hashtags or in wherever they can follow them at Instagram or Facebook, and start following them. You know, the more that people get like learn about, the more that they're aware, I think the more that they're able to talk about it. And I think that is huge. Like even when I think of like the Black Lives Matters movement, I never realized how much it's just not talked about, and not because people don't want to, but because people don't know what to say. And so that was a huge eye-opening experience for me. Well, you don't know what to say. Well, that's because you don't have a lot of education in it. We're not taught that. So go get your education and then you'll know how to talk about it. And it's the same thing here. Like there's a huge lack of education. It's not like through schooling. I don't know about your schooling, but in my schooling, I never like learned about different disabilities until I decided to major in physical therapy, right? So then I went to a major for it and I learned about it. But what about the everyday person that just needs to know like what disabilities are, what you can do instead of what you can't do? And then here, now we can talk about it because it's out there. So do you have anything about like the education system and how maybe that can be more ingrained?
Well, I would say too, like just the way that people view disability, it's often viewed in like a bad or sad way, because you know, most of the time it causes illness, limitations, even pain, and it causes like a negative correlation between that, and therefore it's kind of a taboo subject to talk about. And you people rather, you know, you don't want to be offensive, so it's not talked about, but then like it also needs to be talked about. And so if we can be open and vulnerable about like what's offensive, what's not, and like here's how we talk about it, then we can like spread awareness and education. Even another point, I think you talked about this on one of your past podcasts, but just being like, I am not wheelchair bound, but my wheelchair gives me independence. And that's another thing too. I think, you know, being able-bodied is kind of the standard or the norm, and it really shouldn't be. Like, God made us all in his image and he loves us equally. So we should, you know, love each other and not look down upon each other and just be there for each other. So
yes. Yeah. Oh, I want everybody to have a dose of Annie in them. I think that that's amazing. Which brings me to, and I know that normally we do this at the end of our conversation, but I want to talk about it now because I am so intrigued by power soccer, and I don't think a lot of people know about power soccer. And so I'm wondering if, you know, I was going to ask you a movement experience or something that you really enjoy doing to move your body, but I just know that you're passionate about power soccer. So I would love for you to talk to us a little bit about that sport, kind of talk about it as if somebody has no idea what it is, and then maybe what it's done in your life.
Yeah, so I started to get in that sport when I was really young, and I've been playing for about 15 years now. And basically what it is, they have specialized chairs now, but some people play in their regular chair. But essentially there's a guard on the front of your chair, like a metal guard that, you know, blocks your feet and keeps you protected from, like, if you get bumped or, and it also helps you hit the ball too. So there's different plays and everything, just like able-bodied soccer. And one of my favorite plays is like the spin kick. So you have like the ball, which is actually a bigger ball. It's 13 inches, weighs about like 2 pounds. And the guard helps us hit that. So we actually spin our chair 360 degrees and hit that as hard as we can. Like, I think we measured it one time, it was like 60 miles an hour. So it's awesome. Pretty cool to like strategize, and there's like ball handling and passing, and you can have 4 chairs on the court. One of them is a goalie, 4 chairs on one team, and then the other team has 4 chairs. And then you can't have 2 chairs go up against one. We call that a 2-on-1. So you really have to maintain spacing and pass a lot, and it's really a strategy game. And one of my favorite things to do is ball handle and obviously score a ton of goals. So, yeah, I was actually the top goal scorer in the U.S. Like, I was, like, first for a while and then third and then fifth, like, different seasons. So that was pretty exciting. We do have a USA team. And then if you want to learn more about it, the United States Power Soccer Association, if you just look that up on Google, you can find all the information on there and articles and a way to get involved. Because I really encourage everyone to get involved, try it out. It's not for everyone, but some people absolutely fall in love with it like I did. And yeah, it's impacted my life a lot because you get to travel and meet all kinds of people with disabilities and different disabilities. And yeah, you just really find another family in that sport. And it's just incredible.
That's amazing. Do you think that it's hard to find a power soccer league like close to your community, or do you feel like there's enough that you can at least be within traveling distance to go to practice?
Unfortunately, there isn't like a ton around. Obviously, the sport has grown over the years. I know there's a team in Madison, a few in Minnesota, Eau Claire, just things like that. So you know, you might have to travel a bit and like coordinate with other people on your team, because usually they have to travel a lot even to practice. But it's definitely worth it. And if you can't find a team, you know, work on making your own, because it's so fun.
Yes, I love that. Just make your own wherever you can. And I'm curious with your travel, where are some of your favorite places that you've traveled, and like what are some challenges that you found in traveling, and how did you overcome those?
Yeah, so we have a home tournament once a year, and then we go to Eau Claire and Minnesota a few times. We went to St. Louis. I'm trying to think of all the places because it's been a while, so we took a break because of COVID. But yeah, just different states and like more in the Midwest. So yeah, it's been really fun. And I guess traveling, yeah, that's a whole nother thing. I guess we can get into that. So I mostly drive places just because flying is actually still inaccessible, and a lot of people like can't believe that, just because like, oh, don't you just get on a plane? Well, I have to get out of my wheelchair, transported in an aisle chair, and then like get transported in a seat. And thankfully, like I always travel with someone that like knows how to lift me and move me. But sometimes, like, well, often the people that are doing that are untrained and they don't know how to handle the wheelchair. I know there's been a lot of things on social media too recently about people actually recording the mishandling of their, you know, chair that costs as much as a car, you know, and that's their independence and their mobility. Like, imagine getting to a place and, you know, some people like lose their luggage. Well, what if you lost like your independence and your mobility and you're like, oh, I'm on vacation, but I can't move, you know? And that's just so sad. And I know that an organization called All Wheels Up is working on getting wheelchairs, getting people to drive their wheelchairs on the plane and have that be, you know, certified, you know, nationally to be able to do that. But it's so important to advocate for those things, as people, things that people take for granted or don't really know about that are inaccessible, we're still fighting for today, you know, and it's 2021, so.
Yeah, I think that brings up a huge point. I think that so many of us would be shocked at the things that are still happening, because you think that, you know, IDEA happened so long ago, and yet even when that happened, or not IDEA, it's because I'm in the school, I'm thinking of IDEA, but it's the ADA Act, right? In like the 1980s or whatever. Mm-hmm. But now I don't think that there's been many changes to my knowledge to that, that have really been impactful. Like when you say like the air travel, I think that that brings a huge point. Like if you can't actually bring your chair onto the plane, like you are risking everything by having somebody load that as luggage. And I personally never even thought about that. So thank you so much for bringing that to our attention.
Because people have not only got like physically hurt by being transported, you know, in a way that they can't move that well or something, but their chair has also been broken. And I know, like, especially on long flights, as I have flown before just to like go to places, because I need to, you know, still live my life. Even the seats are really uncomfortable, and like I like can't sit in them well, because my chair is literally molded to me, because I sit in it all day pretty much, and it's comfortable for me. And that's, you can't make an airline seat that's comfortable for everyone. And that's why we should be able to bring our, you know, chair on the plane.
Yes, I love that. I'm going to get behind that one, because that one, well, and everything that we're talking about, but that one I think would be huge, especially for someone like you that loves to travel. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, one of my favorite quotes is by Zach Sobiak, and it says, "What some people take for granted, others are fighting for." And that's one thing to really give you perspective, like every little thing that you like can do, like someone is fighting for that ability or, you know, that privilege. And so it's really important to just, that's how you like be thankful too, for every little thing that you can do. And that's what motivates me too, is like, even though I am weaker, I am still able to do so many things. And you know, I fight for those every day to be able to maintain my strength and take care of my body. And that's just also important.
Yes. Oh, I love it. Throughout so much of this conversation, I'm just getting chills from you. So I think this has been amazing. I'm wondering, is there anything that we haven't talked about that you do want to address or that you want to speak about?
Well, being a designer, I design for accessibility, and that's one thing that like I really want to specialize into and like take into account. So I'll try and like make this understandable, because I have like that background. But obviously everyone should be able to access the web and be able to contribute no matter their disability, whether that's like hearing loss or vision loss or mobility. And there's different assistive technology for that, like screen readers, special mouses and keyboards, even speech technology. But I know as like a designer, like you want to code, like you want to label like the HTML and CSS, and then like the navigation should be predictable and consistent, and then also include like alt text and captions and have big readable fonts and consider, you know, people to have color blindness and things like that. So
if someone, you know, a lay person like me who doesn't know much of what that means, like has a website, you know, we're trying to connect with people with different disabilities and empower them through movement here at Live For. So when I'm thinking about my website, is there a person that you would hire or a person that you could have as a consultant that you could say, hey, like this is our website, but we really want to make our website accessible? Like, are you the type of person that you go to for something like that?
Yeah, definitely. I have my own freelance business, so I'll do websites and everything. And if you want to check out my website too, it's anniekeithcoatdesigns.com. And you can book me on there if you want some design work done. But yeah, there's different like websites that you can actually check your website through. One of them is called w3.org, and it has different like web accessibility tutorials. And then another one that you can like check your website through is called webaim.org, and you can check like the contrast ratio to make sure it's like seeable, and then like the size of your text and things like that, and the labeling of your code. So those are all good things to keep in mind and consider as you make your own website, if you choose to do that. And then like how you run your business too, because that's another thing too is, you know, people with disabilities, we have money, we want to contribute to the world. It's just sometimes there's like different barriers that keep us from doing that, whether it's like physical or, you know, cultural. But yeah, I think employers too, I think it's important to have a person with a disability like in your business too, just to give that perspective and be able to represent and speak up for that community. Because if you're not doing that, you're missing out on not only revenue, but just being able to relate to those portion of your audience.
Yes, I love so much of that. And there's going to be a whole list I'm going to ask you for after this show of resources that I can put in their show notes, because there are, I mean, there's so many that I want to know, that I want to follow, including movie recommendations. You know, that's such a good point. Like, let's throw some good movies our way that we can learn something and spread awareness. Well, I want to follow up or finish up with my questions from Beckett. And so I am so sorry to Diana for last episode when I forgot Beckett's question, but I'm sure he'll be back on asking you. But since we got it today, ready, drum roll please, for Beckett's question. So important. He would love to know, what is your favorite ice cream flavor?
Oh, that's a good one. There are so many good choices with that too. It's like whatever you're in the mood for, you know. I guess I would have to go with cookies and cream, just because I like everything, whether that's chocolate or fudge, like, or cereal, like everything cookies and cream I really like. And so yeah, that's my favorite.
It just sounds so good. It's funny because even when I ask him questions like that, well, I love it all, Mom. I can't just pick one. I love it all. So I think he asked the question so that he can have more ice cream himself and try new flavors. So, well, thank you so much, Annie. I really appreciate your time. It is so good to see you. And I'll make sure to put all of your information in our show notes too, so people can find you and follow you, because you are such a gift to the world. And I think that you can do so many things for others. And watch out, people are going to start contacting you. So I hope you're ready.
Well, thanks for having me on again. It was great to see you also. And it's an honor to be here and advocate in this way. So thanks for having me on.
Live4 is a 501c3 nonprofit. We believe in fostering trust and support in kids to give them the freedom to go confidently in the direction of their dreams. If you would like to know more about our programs and services, or if you would like to contribute to our cause, please visit www.live4.org.